given a watch. Well, the other one's broken, so. But if I don't look at the watch, somebody just wave your hand and say, time to quit, Brother Dan. But I want to tell a joke this morning, too. I'm going to let Brother Caldwell get the best of me. I had a friend of mine say, he said, Brother Danny, I said, yeah? He says, you know it wasn't lawful or spiritual for the ladies to make coffee? I said, why? He said, all you have to do is look at the book of Hebrews. Well, y'all get it later, right? Well, it's good to be here this morning. You like yours better?
Amen. But nothing wrong with good, clean humor, right? Amen. We don't like the other kind. They don't edify, and it's not good for us. Amen. It brings confusion to division. Nothing wrong with good humor. But just say, appreciate the opportunity today. Appreciate our pastor allowing me to do this. I respect him and his family and what he preaches here. Respect the church. Respect you. I don't take this lightly. And when I open the Word of God, I don't take it lightly. And I covet your prayers. And I just say, all of you looking good this morning. Amen. But I'm going to try to sing you a song. I'm not much of a singer, but I like to sing this song because it edifies the Lord Jesus Christ. It edifies the cross work that he did on Calvary. So you pray for us. And it's sort of my testimony song. So I've sung it here before, I believe. But we're going to try it again. There lays the crown that fell from his head. Oh, the blood is dry on the thorns. And there stands his earthly mother in tears, for she just lost her son. He died on a cross for someone just like me. And now I realize I'm the one. I'm the one Jesus shed his lifeblood to save. And I'm the reason he rose from the grave. And I'm the reason for those worn out sandals, you see. He walked every mile just for me. When I remember all the times I refused, all the love that he offered me, I just couldn't see how the sinner I was could be changed by his agony. Oh, but now it's so clear, I'm forgiven by God's only Son. He died on a cross for someone just like you. And now we realize we're the ones. We're the ones Jesus died on a cross for my sins. And he's the one that rose from the grave. Yes, I'm the reason for those worn out sandals, you see. He walked every mile for me. All right. You have your Bibles? Turn to Isaiah chapter 7. Brother Caldwell was speaking this morning about signs. And here in this chapter, God has given Ahaz and the house of Jacob a sign about their deliverer, about their coming king that will deliver them from their enemies and from their transgressions. But he speaks in verse 4, look in verse number 11. Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in depth or in height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of Jacob. It is a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And we know the word Emmanuel means God is with us. Being interpreted, meaning God is with us. And you know, we're living in a time now that in the church age, and where salvation is by grace through faith alone in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when the Lord came to this world, He came as a child. And God chose and gave a sign to the nation of Israel that a virgin would conceive, amen, and bring forth a child. It's hard for people to accept that today. I had a man ask me one time, he said, "Brother Danny, do you really believe that a virgin, without a man, brung forth the Son of God?" I said, "Absolutely." He said, "You mean to tell me you also believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale and lived in the belly of that whale 3 days and three nights and God spit him back out?" "Yes, I do." It's also a picture of the Son of God. It's just 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. But thank God He died on that cross and came out in resurrection. Amen. That you and I would be justified. "Yes, I believe it." "Amen. Without a doubt." The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. "Yes, I believe in." "I believe in miracles today. I just don't believe in signs and wonders are operating today. I believe God could do a miracle." He tells us to make our request known unto God. If it's according to the will of God and He wants to heal you, that's fine. But men don't have the power to do that. Amen? But God's will can do that. If you make that request as God's will, that's fine. You pray about that. Amen? Nothing's impossible with God. Turn over to Luke chapter 1. And look at verse 18. And I want to show you two miracle verse that took place here. And Zechariah said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am old, and my wife will be stricken in years." And the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I am to speak, I am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. Behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, where he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration, as the ministrations were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and he himself 5 months, saying, "Thus saith the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man who was Joseph and the house of David. And this virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called in the Son of the Highest, the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of David forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end." Then Mary said unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And that's exactly what people ask today. They're looking on the natural. Amen. I mean, this was a miracle done from God, and it had to be this way. The Lord Jesus Christ came and as a child in the city of Bethlehem, and he's laid in a manger. A manger is a feeding trough. Amen? That's all a manger is. And sometimes they made a manger out of a stone. They take a stone and they hew it out in the middle. Amen? And when they put feed in, they feed the animals. And the Lord Jesus Christ was placed in a feeding trough where they kept the animals. I mean, here is the God of heaven, the Creator that created man, created animals, created the earth, and yet He's placed in a humble stable where animals are, and the baby's placed in a cradle in a manger. I got that sound going on. But, see, people, you know, that's humility. That's the humility of God. I mean, He could have come back and just wiped everything out and said, "This is the way it's going to be."
But he decided to come in a little child. And he decided to live amongst people and grow up. And he lived on this earth 33 and a half years. But nothing's impossible with God. Nothing. The Bible tells us, listen, turn to Matthew chapter 2. Turn to Matthew chapter 2. And I want us to look at something. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east of Jerusalem, saying, where is this that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east, and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, and they shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had probably called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star would appear. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came to sit over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come in the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh, and being warned of God in a dream that they should return to Herod, they departed in their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there where I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. The very moment the Son of God, as he was Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she brung forth the child, that very moment he had an adversary seeking his life. And Herod, being Satan's king, sought out to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. It reminds me about, in 1 Samuel chapter 20, about King Saul. And how that, you know, King Saul was a great king. He did a lot of things for the nation of Israel. And he'd go and he'd defeat the Philistines, and he'd come into town, and the ladies would cry out, Saul has killed his thousands. But when David came on the scene, David did, great acts. The ladies would cry out and say, Saul has killed his thousands, but David kills his 10,000s. And jealousy entered into the heart of Saul. And God knew about it. And the Bible said God put an evil spirit on Saul. And from that moment on, Saul set out to kill and destroy David. Hey, isn't there a similarity there? See, David was a future God's anointed king. And Saul just couldn't stand that David getting the popularity. But I want to tell you something. Death. David said in verse 20 of 1 Samuel chapter 20, and by 19, he said that I am one step away from death. And Saul had already ordered his men when he seen David to kill him. And that's the same way with you and I, friend. Listen, we're one step from death in this life. We're one heartbeat from death. We're one breath from death. And then, this year I've preached a lot of funerals. Seen a lot of death. I lost my mom to death December the 4th. Preached her funeral. But she went out in peace. She loved the Lord. She just fell asleep. It was a good thing. She didn't struggle or nothing like that. And listen, folks, God will be with us that are saved in our death. God will give us grace to go through that channel, the shadow of death. And listen, but I want to tell you something. Death is certain for all of us unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes. You know, He could come any minute and we'd be raptured out and you and I won't see death. But our bodies will be changed. Amen. We'll have a new glorified body to hold up in eternity. This old body is like Brother Caldwell said, it ain't no good. It's selfish. Huh? Tells lies. When you caught, anybody here never told a lie? If you raise your hand, you're lying. This flesh is no good. Paul said, in my flesh, there was no good thing. You know? And Brother Welch, that's why, you know, everybody else is not looking as good as you and I do. I don't know what's wrong with us. You know, we just get better looking every day, right? You don't agree with me? It's dying. This flesh is dying. Death is certain. And death is also uncertain. We don't know the time. We don't know the time. I mean, I could leave here today and have a heart attack and be with the Lord. That'd be a good thing. I'm not scared of death. I'm prepared for death. But I know the reality, if the Lord don't come back, I will see death. I'm reminded of Danny Jr. He went to work one day, my son, on January 20th, he's coming up on the date, January 22nd, 2008. It was around 9:30 in the morning. He was working with the state, the DeKalb County school system as well as I did, and I was about 5 miles away. He was working on a ballast wire. He was an electrician helper. And they had a wrong wire that they didn't know about. He has done this hundreds of times. But he reached back and touched the wrong wire, and his electricity went through him and busted his heart. That day, Jessica's wife said he was so excited because she fixed him tacos for lunch before he left. And he's telling everybody, you know, they were only been married 2 years, you know, and had an 11-month-old baby. And he's telling everybody at work, well, I'm going to eat them tacos Jessica made. It's exciting, you know. And he's going around showing the pictures of his little boy that morning around 9:30. And usually every morning we'd meet and have prayer or whatever, and he'd go. But that morning we didn't. The last day that I seen him was on 2 days before that was on a Sunday. And last words I said to him, I said, I love you, son. Give him a thumb up, and he did his thumb up, and he walked out. But that day, that Tuesday morning, he had no idea that he was going out into eternity. See, death is uncertain. I mean, he was happy. I mean, he had an 11-month-old baby, loving life. He loved the Lord. He's a young preacher. But at 9:30, he was gone. Death's uncertain. So you and I need to live our lives every day as though the next day will be our last. You're to tell your children, and by the way, when your children leave out to go to work or go to school or whatever, you need to get every one of them down and tell them you love them. I'm just telling you from my heart today. Tell them you love them. Because it might be the last words you say to them. You know, there was a conception. The Lord Jesus Christ conceived by the Holy Ghost. There was a cradle. He was placed in a manger. And no doubt many times Mary would cradle the Lord Jesus Christ in her arms. Oh, how she loved him. You know, she was his earthly mother. God's never had a mother. Amen. She was just a vessel that was favored to be chosen to be conceived by the Holy Ghost and bring forth the Son of God. Amen. She was chosen thus. I mean, she's not to be made out of God, but she was made out to be a woman that was favored and chosen. You and I are chosen vessels of God. We can be used of God. Amen? We get in the Word of God and you know, take to the spiritual things that Apostle Paul tells us in his writings. We can be used of God. We can be a vessel unto honor. It's our choice. Or you can be a vessel unto dishonor. Amen? You can yield to your flesh. Bring a testimony. I had a friend of mine said, Brother Danny, ain't nothing wrong with a good drink. I said, you're talking to the wrong guy. I know what liquor will do to you. I know what drugs will do to you. Age of 14 years old, I was selling Zecanols on the street in the streets of California at Venice Beach. $3 a roll for three of them. Zecanols, barbiturates. Drinking at the age of, I had my first drink at the age of 9 years old. Drunk some moonshine that my cousins made up in South Georgia. Then I, you know, don't tell me that booze is a good thing. The Bible said, God said, one that drinks that stuff's what? Not wise. So if God tells you it's not wise, what does it mean? It's not wise to drink that stuff. You know what really started all that stuff for me? Smoking cigarettes. Hiding out in what we call a club, you know. We had kids, we'd build us a little club and hide out and have all the little things out there. And we'd steal cigarettes from my friends. His daddy had a store. And I was a stock boy. And we'd go in there and steal cigarettes and stuff and take them out to our hut. And we'd start puffing. Now, cigarettes don't save you, you know. I mean, you quit cigarettes, I ain't going to save you. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. I'm not talking about drinking. It has nothing to do with your salvation. But I'll tell you one thing, beloved. It'll mess your testimony up. And you're not wise if you do it. Oh, I can handle it. Well, you know, okay. But there's a conception. There's a cradle and there's a cross. I want us to look, turn to Luke. Luke chapter 23. And look at verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also were with them, deriding on him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a subscription was also written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrews, This is the king of the Jews. And one malefactor, which hanged well on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself. But the other asked and rebuked him, saying, Do not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. There was three crosses on Golgotha's hill. Three crosses. Golgotha's hill was called Golgotha, a place of the skull, and Calvary, Mount Calvary. It was a place where men were condemned. And by the way, when you wear a cross around your neck, you know what you're saying? I'm condemned. Now, I know a lot of people wear crosses for religious reasons or whatever. Huh? But when you put a cross on there, you're showing a sign of condemnation. Because the Bible said everyone that hangeth on a tree is what? A curse. When he hung on that tree, the Lord Jesus Christ became a curse. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 down to 21, He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He became sin, the Son of God. I heard preachers say when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was turning his back on his son. He wasn't turning his back on his son. He gave his son as an offering for sin. Jesus said, I laid down my life. He was turning his back on sin, not on his son. And so there's three crosses there. There was three men that died on that cross. Two thieves and the Lord Jesus Christ. Was in the middle. Have you ever thought about why he was in the middle? Why wasn't he put on the end? Have you ever thought about why he was in the middle of two thieves? Well, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5, For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He was put in the middle that the thief on the right hand could see everything that he was doing, could hear everything he was saying. The same thing with the thief on the left. They heard exactly everything that the Lord said. Here was their provision for salvation right in the middle of them. And one said, If you be the Christ, you know, get us down from here. Save yourself and save me. Unconvicted sinner. All he was interested in was saving his flesh. And you have people like that today. I mean, they don't care nothing about spiritual things. You know, they want their money, they want their cars, they want their houses, they want their boats. And those things are good. If you know, handled in the right way, there's nothing wrong with having riches. If you're a giver as well. And you don't covet and make those riches your God. But he just wanted to save his skin. He didn't have no thought or believe anything about eternity. And he did not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Son of God. But the other thief rebuked him. You know, both of them was in the same situation before they came to the cross. They were both guilty. They were both thieves. They were both condemned to die on that cross. But one recognized two things that thief recognized. First, he recognized he was a king. And he was the king of the Jews. How do you know? Because they put the subscription on top saying he was the king of the Jews. And he believed when he heard him speak on that cross and saw the punishment that he was going through and how he didn't rebuke anybody and how he took that punishment without blaming anybody. And he took that sin upon himself, the Lord Jesus Christ did. And that thief saw it. And he said this, "Lord, just remember me." That's simple. Isn't that something? Salvation is simple. It's of the heart. You don't have to come to an aisle. You don't have to pray anything. You don't have to tell anybody. You don't have to go anywhere. Just with your heart, you have to believe the gospel, the good news. What is it? That Jesus Christ died for all your sins. He was buried. God raised him from the dead that you could be justified. I mean, that thief, in that moment, when the Lord looked at him and said, "Today, here's his reward." First, he saw himself a convicted sinner. He said, "You know, we deserve what we're getting. We deserve, it's justly what we're being condemned for. We deserve this." He's a convicted sinner. First thing that person has to do when he realizes he's lost to be saved, you have to realize you're lost. Never forget when I realized I was lost. Buddy, I'm telling you, my bed is like sleeping on gravel. Huh? For a long time. Conviction. I don't believe in this popcorn religion today. You know, I believe there has to be conviction. Amen. You have to realize you're a sinner. Amen. And you have to realize the one who died for sinners. Romans 5 and 8, he said, "But God committed his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans chapter 5, he says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." When you get saved, you're no longer an enemy. You have peace with God. That same chapter tells us that he died for the ungodly. That same chapter tells us we have now received the atonement. All in Romans chapter 5. All he said was, "Lord, remember me, thou comest in thy kingdom." And the Lord Jesus said, rewarded him and said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." What a reward. Huh? I mean, I'm going to be suffering on this cross until I die. But when I die, I'll be in his kingdom. That's my reward. Just because I told him, "Just remember me." That's what happened to me. I said, "Lord, I trust you. I believe it. I believe what you've done for me." That's simple, and God saved me. Changed my life. Amen. That's been 40-something years now. I don't look that old. Y'all keep on smiling now. You know? Three men on the cross. Three deaths. One died in his sins. Ephesians chapter 1. "Ye hath been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Before you were saved, you're a dead man in trespass and sin. You had nothing spiritual about you. You know, you're a walking dead man. And this thief, the one that rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, died in his sins. Amen? And they got this doctrine going around, this universal doctrine now, you know, says, you know, that the Lord Jesus Christ has paid for all their sins, and he has. But even those that go to, you know, reject Christ, they go with their sins forgiven. No, sir. You only get the benefit if you believe. You only can be reconciled to God if you're reconciled to God. The Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 through 21, he says, Christ, God was in Christ. Christ is God manifested in the flesh. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And he committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Then he tells them, "Be ye reconciled to God." Huh? Colossians 2, verses 10 through 16. It talks about when me and you are saved, we are complete in Him. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us we've been have redemption through His blood. It also tells us in that chapter that you and I are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise the moment we're saved. After we've trusted the Word of truth. What's the Word of truth? 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. How that Jesus Christ died for our sins, He was buried, and God raised Him from the dead. It was the gospel that Paul received, and the gospel that Paul has given you and I, which is the gospel of the grace of God today, for men to be saved by today and believe in it. Oh, one died in his sins. The other thief died to his sins. Amen? The law couldn't condemn him no more. Sin couldn't condemn him more. Amen. He was forgiven, and he was in paradise with the Lord. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, therefore there now is no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hey, God is never going to condemn us anymore. Our sin debt's been paid for. But there's some things in your life that will condemn you. Huh? Your flesh. You get out there and play around with it. You get out there and make provisions for the flesh. You pour gasoline on the fire and see what happens. Paul tells us over and over again about Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 5. He tells us how to walk. Gives us instruction as the apostle to the Gentiles. I don't see anybody waving a chicken leg yet, so I guess I'm all right. Ephesians chapter 6. Here's that. I'm looking at the watch. He tells us about our armor. You're saved by God's grace. Why do you want to get up every morning and go without your armor? You're in a battle, friend. You're in a spiritual battle. What would it be like a soldier to go to war, go over to Afghanistan and have his AR-15 or his M-16, don't carry no bullets? He's just going to point it in you. He's going to shoot you. Bang, bang, nothing happening. Take the Word of God. Take your instructions. Huh? Go in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you put on the armor, you're going in His power, not your power. When you yield to the flesh, what happens? You're a mess. You know what? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Find it here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 17. Well, this gets a lot of people in uproar here. You know, they were having a discussion. They were having personality problems here in Corinth. I was baptized Paul. I was baptized as Cephas. All and on. They're talking about water baptism, you know. I'm better than you and you better than me and all that good stuff. And Paul gets a revelation in verse 17. He says, for Christ sent me not to baptize. He's talking about water baptism. He says, but to preach the gospel, the good news. Not with the wisdom of the words that the cross of Christ should be made none effect. For the preaching of the cross is them that perish foolishness. But in us which are saved, it is the power of God. You know what was foolish to that thief, that one thief that rejected God? The cross. It was foolishness to him. Huh? He said, if you be the Christ, save yourself and save me. What are you doing here? All the time, he's doing it for Him. You know what's powerful? The very God of heaven coming down in humanity in the likeness of sinful flesh. Not sinful flesh. Putting on humanity. God manifested in the flesh without sin. Fulfilled the law. Amen? Had His ministry here. And now He's being rejected and He's accepted it and He's opening not His mouth about it. That's powerful. God Himself being humiliated on a cross, being stripped of His garments, hanging between heaven and earth, in all the world. In that time, all the people around Him, seeing Him. Don't you think that would be shameful? And you know, they put a crown of thorns on His head. Earthly crown. They shoved him down in his skull. And his blood was shed. A crown, an earthly crown. There's conception. The Holy Ghost. Mary was conceived by. He was laden. His cradle was in a manger. The cross. Three crosses, three men. Huh? Died. Then, the crown. Thank God for the crown. Turn to Revelation. And I'm going to close with this. But turn to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Verse number 11. When they mocked him, they put a purple robe on him. They slapped him. They spit upon him. They pulled his beard out. They wrapped his arms around a whipping post at Gabbatha. And they scourged him with a cat of nine tails. They plowed his back up with those sharp objects at the end of those cat of nine tails. And the psalmist talks about how his back was plowed. As they whipped him, those sharp objects sunk into his flesh and they pulled it. And they plowed his flesh. Put an earthly crown on him. And they hit him on the face. This is God. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. You're talking about power. Powerful. The preaching of the cross is powerful. Because he humbled himself. He is obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. For people that didn't love him. But he loved them. Ain't you glad you love him this morning? Ain't you glad you're saved? But there's a crown given to him. Look in verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many, did you get that? On his head were many crowns. I like that. That just tickles me to death. Many crowns, not one. He has many crowns. Isn't that something? And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that which it should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he shall tread the winepress of the fierce of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Friend, he's the King of every king that's ever been mentioned. And he's the Lord of every Lord that's ever been mentioned. He is the top. He's the one to be magnified. He is the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. When he comes back during this time, he's not coming back as a lamb dumb before his shearers. He's not coming back with his mouth shut. He's coming back as a lion of the tribe of Judah, and he's coming back with a roar. Amen. That just excites me. Excuse me if I get a little excited. If you're saved by grace, my goodness, you ought to be excited every now and then. Don't you ever get alone somewhere and just, hallelujah, I'm saved by God's grace. Nothing wrong with that. You might mess your hair up a little bit. You know, we've let the Pentecostals take away our joy. I'm not talking about going around speaking in tongues. I can barely speak English. There is no gift of tongues today. There is no signs operating today. As Brother Caldwell made plain in 1 Corinthians 14. Tongues they shall cease. Prophecy it shall fail. The gift of knowledge, he's talking about knowledge, the gift of knowledge, it shall vanish away. Why? Because we have the perfect Word of God. Revelation of God. Grow up. Huh? He wants you to grow up. We walk by what? Faith and not by sight. But when he comes back, he's coming back with vengeance. Huh? He's not coming back with compassion. The body of Christ has already been with him. You know? He's coming back at the end of those 7 years, and he's coming back as King of Kings, and he's coming back with his wrath. He said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. He's coming back with wrath. There goes the watch. Glad I'm saved this morning. How about you? We're all going to die, you know, unless the Lord comes and gets us. Raptures us out of here, the church, the body of Christ. Are you saved this morning? You know you're saved. Then you have nothing to worry about. You have good tidings. You have great joy. And fear not. You have the Son of God. You have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. Fear not. Huh? He'll never leave us. Nor forsake us. You're His what? Purchase, possession. The preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. But unto us that are saved, power of God. Let's all just stand for a moment.